If you have a Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 12, verse 28. The question for this morning is, how do we love others as God loves others? And we're going to start with our study in Mark 12, 28. I'm going to read through to verse 30 or 31. Then one of the scribes, the lawyers, asked him, Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments. Now, you know, we haven't really talked about this, but yeah, I think it's interesting that Jesus doesn't even hesitate. And do you know why he doesn't hesitate? Because he wrote it. Back in Leviticus and back in Deuteronomy, he wrote it, and so he knows this answer better than anybody on earth. And so it says that Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, listen, O harvest, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, or the Lord alone, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your very. Thank you. Somebody, yeah, with all your very is the way it really reads, but they have put in the word strength. And then it continues, and the second like it is this, you shall, or you will, love your neighbor, and neighbor meaning one who is nearby or close by. You will love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment, singular. I think that's funny how it goes from plural to singular. Greater than these. In other words, loving God and loving people are the same thing. And we see that even in 1 John, where in 1 John he says, if you don't love your brother, you don't love me. And so it's all put together that we love others as well as God. It's just all part of one great commandment. So, and we look at it as two, and we're studying it as two, and these two commandments to love God and people, which is our goal, our guiding principle, our marching orders, our path to everything we do in ministry of simply being a God follower. Amen? Love God and love people. That's right. That's right. Thank you. That's okay. Others, neighbor, if you got anywhere in there, you get a name for the day. If you didn't say anything. Okay. All right. So one of the big questions that's asked Jesus, and I think a lot of times in our own life, is who is my neighbor? Who is it that I'm supposed to love? And I remember years ago, I was in a company. And we were having, I was ahead of the manufacturing plant part, and we had our sales team there, and we were kind of going back and forth on how they were doing it wrong, and we were doing it wrong. And finally, one of the very wise, you know, you always have that one person in the company that's really wise, and they're usually quiet, and they speak up, and everybody's the E.F. Hutton kind of thing. He was that E.F. Hutton kind of guy, and he goes, well, it sounds like we're trying to figure out who we don't have to care about here. And we all stopped and thought, yeah, you're totally right. And so I think in our lives, we kind of do the same thing. It's almost like, who don't we have to love? There's somebody that we don't have to love. And the Bible goes, no. Jesus says, no, no. Right? We love everybody. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we already know that answer because in Matthew 5:43 it says, and you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And you remember that was the Essenes that said that. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. So it doesn't look like there's much room to wiggle out of loving everybody. Amen? Okay. Now, years ago, I taught what we call junior church in those days. Back when I first came to Colorado for about 5 or 6 years, I would teach the children in junior church. And what I would do is tell them a story about a Bible story. And I think the most asked for, if it wasn't every Sunday, it was pretty close to that, they would always say, tell us the Good Samaritan story, right? And Jamie was in there and Rachel and a few others were in there. And they love that story because it's the answer to who is my neighbor that Jesus gives. And the statement that one of the lawyers asks is, but he, wanting to justify himself, this self-righteous lawyer, said to Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And this is how the story goes, and I'm going to tell it like your junior church. Okay, so I'm going to be asking you questions, and you all have to respond, right? Because kids respond, adults don't, all right? They're always afraid they'll get the answer wrong or something like that, so I'll try to make it really easy on you, okay? Well, there was a certain man that was going from Jerusalem to Jericho down the Jericho Road. It's a big, long 17-mile road all the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was walking along, and while he was doing it, there were two bad guys. Now, do we like bad guys? No. And so these bad guys were hiding behind a rock, and they were crouching down, and pretty soon they could hear this guy whistling coming down the trail towards Jericho. And so the one guy says to the other, these guys are robbers. And he said, "Okay, when he gets right in front of the rock, you go around this side and I'll go around this side." And so as soon as the guy got right up to it, bam, they walked out. Okay, now, did that scare you a little bit? Yeah, the kids love being scared, okay? And so they ran around and they beat and hit him, and they hit him in the face and the arm and in the ribs, and pretty soon the guy falls down and they grab some of his clothes and they grab his money bag and off they run to the store, okay? And so here's this guy, he's laying there and he's bleeding, and his arm hurts, and he's thinking, "Oh, what's going to happen to me because of my arm hurts, and I think my leg's broken, and I think he broke my ribs." And off in the distance, he hears this, somebody coming up the trail. And finally, he sees him, and it's a priest, and a preacher man. And he thinks, "Well, the preacher man will help me." And he goes, "Oh, please, please help me. I've been robbed and beat, and my arm hurts, and I think my leg's broken, and my ribs are broken. Can you help me?" And the preacher man gets way across the other side of the lane, and he goes, "Wait a minute. You're dirty. And I bet you even smell. And I just don't have time. I've got church business to do." And off he walked. Okay, now was that the right thing to do? No, that wasn't the right thing to do. And so he laid there and he thought, "What's going to happen to me?" And pretty soon, he hears somebody coming up the path again. And it's a Levite. He's like a higher preacher than the one that was just there. So I think, great. And so as soon as the guy gets close, he says, "Please, please help me. My arm hurts, and I think my leg's broken, and my ribs are cracked, and I need help, and I'm bleeding." And the preacher comes up and goes, whoa. He gets on the other side of the trail, and he says, "Man, you are so filthy. Don't you ever take a bath?" And he says, "Well, I was beat up and robbed." And he said, "I don't care." He said, you need to wash up and be clean for God. And besides, I got a church meeting to go to." And off he goes up the trail to Jerusalem. And it starts to get dark. And it's dusk already, and he thinks, "Wow, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to freeze overnight because it's the winter, and my arm hurts, and I think my leg's broken, and my ribs are cracked." And pretty soon he hears somebody coming up the path again. And as the guy gets closer, he realizes he's a Samaritan. Who is a Samaritan? They're the enemy. The enemy. Now, kids, would you be scared if it was the enemy? Yes. Yeah. And so the Samaritan comes up and he says, "Please, please don't hurt me. I've already been beat up and my arm hurts and my knee, I think my leg is broken and my ribs hurt." And he goes, "Oh," he gets down off his donkey. He says, "Let me help you." And so he gets over there and he gets his coat and puts around him and he washes his wounds and his sores, and he takes the man and he puts him on his donkey, and he walks him down to Jericho, to the nearest inn that he usually sleeps at, and he checks him into the inn, and he finishes washing up his sores and puts him to sleep. And then he goes to the innkeeper and he says, now look, I'm giving you some money here, and if I owe any more, you know I come by here all the time. I will give you more money if it's needed. You just tell me what I owe and I'll give it to you. Now, was the Samaritan, was he loving his neighbor? Yes. Wow. The enemy loves the enemy. Now, I'm going to pull out of the kid thing. You'll be going, yeah. Yeah, the Samaritan loved his enemy. And the Samaritan was a person that was like a half-breed Jew. He's half Jew, half Gentile. And the Jews absolutely did not like him. And yet he had compassion on this man. And Jesus says this, and so which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now I want to give you a kind of a shot in the arm today, a real thought here. Loving your neighbor is an act of mercy, God's mercy on your part. Do you ever think about that? Loving the unlovable, loving those people that God said you love them anyhow, is you are demonstrate God's mercy on them. It isn't just that you're loving them, you're showing mercy to them. And so Jesus says, you will love your neighbor as yourself. So now we know who our neighbor is. It's the person that actually loves anyone else around them, right? That's the neighbor. And so God wants you and I to show mercy. So Jesus is quoting from Leviticus 19:18. Turn there with me if you have your Bibles. Some of you have your brand new King James application Bibles. I know you got them for Christmas. And so turn to chapter 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, okay? And let's start in chapter 19, verse 17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. Man, I just wish he said, you shall not hate your brother, but he has to add, in your heart. Okay? You shall surely rebuke or admonish your neighbor and not bear sin because of not be passive and just participate or nod on it. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. The very words of God. Do you understand that? That is exactly what God said. And last week, I gave a window into our subject today concerning how we view loving others as ourselves. And many people during Jesus' time were asking the question, what does loving your neighbor actually mean? And the key to understanding how Jesus interpreted love your neighbor is actually in the last word of the verse, which literally means love your neighbor like yourself. Rather than as yourself. It could be translated either way. Like yourself. Now, traditionally, we have read it to mean love your neighbor as you love yourself, so that you should be able to love them as much as you love yourself. But you know, the real problem is we don't understand how much we love ourselves. Right? It's really hard because you think, well, okay, I'm pretty humble and I'm looking at other. Oh, no. Just think about when you stand in the mirror. And if you're me, you're going, yeah, you know, and I don't know what you do, but we want to look our best. We care about ourselves. And I always kind of have to laugh inside a little bit when people say, well, I hate myself. No, they hate what they did. They don't necessarily hate themselves. And so it could be a great goal, because if we loved other people like we love ourselves, oh my gosh, this world would be different, wouldn't it? But the problem with loving other people as loving ourselves is maybe we don't like our own weaknesses, and we might even be introspective at times and think, oh man, I need to change here, but we certainly don't bark and push that judgment in our mind like we do about others, do we? We're very self-forgiving in that sense. And if we could be that way towards other people, it'd be great. But This can also be read in a literal way, which actually makes more sense and I think is a better tool for us to understand. Instead of comparing two kinds of love, you and I can compare ourselves with our neighbor. So it should read this way, is what I think. Love your neighbor who is similar to yourself. All right. Now, supporting this interpretation, just a few lines down in verse 33 is a phrase that's used exactly the same way. It says, if a stranger dwells with you in the land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself or like yourself. Same phrase. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, what he's saying is, you should have sympathy and compassion for these people who are not really part of your blood. They're there because you experienced in Egypt being a slave and being the one that was in trouble. And so he's saying you can relate. Now, the idea of comparing your neighbor to yourself might not seem earth-shattering, but consider how it reveals the true wisdom of Leviticus 19:18. Let me just change it. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor who is like yourself. Does that make more sense? I am the Lord. And when you're angry with your neighbor, don't forget, you've done exactly the same thing. I mean, I thought, okay, how can I illustrate this? And I thought, well, traffic's always a good one, isn't it? Have you ever driven down the road and someone pulls out in front of you and because they couldn't see or they had some block vision and you're not really happy with what they did? And you find yourself kind of making unkind remarks if you're more verbal like I am, or you're doing it inward and that's not better, okay, about their driving habits or the truth of their driver's license or whatever it may be. And then you find yourself pulling out in front of someone else. You know, it was last year. Let's see, was that a week ago? Yeah, okay. Last year, right towards the end of the year, I had a guy pull right out in front of me, and I had to jam on the brakes. And, of course, everything in the back seat slid onto the floor. That's the real killer, isn't it? Yeah. And so I'm not saying anything, but I'm kind of irritated. And then he raises his hands like, And I had a little bit of compassion on him because I thought, well, he didn't see it, you know. So it irritated me, but I pondered his result, and I thought, well, that was kind of cool in a way because he put his hands up, you know, I'm sorry or whatever. And so who am I to keep blasting him if that's what he's doing? And so that's all racing through my head, and I'm thinking about that. And a little bit later that day, I came to the stop, and there was a big bush on one side and a big bush on the other side, and you couldn't see. And so I'm inching out, and I can't see anything, so I take off as a stop sign, and a car's right on top of me. And I thought about that previous person. You know how fast your mind can act during those times. And I'm thinking, and he rolled down his window, and he waved at me with one finger. Hi there, I understand. You know, and you know, I raised my arms, and you know, I we can do things innocently, or maybe we get stupid, but all on the same day, that guy was mad at me, and I had to go back and think, you know, but I was kind of mad at that guy that did it to me. Love your neighbor who is similar to you, the Bible says. And they are similar to us, aren't they? Man, I look at it, and sometimes we build up this marketing within our heart that, man, we're doing pretty well. We're reading our Bible, and we're pretty perfect. And then somebody comes along and pops our balloon. And all of a sudden we think, why am I believing that kind of marketing? God never asked us to think that we're perfect, because in his eyes we already are, amen? And he's fine with that, but we have weakness. It always drives me back to Paul when he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Because he's so sick of the sin in his life. And then we realize that we can't bear these grudges, grudges against them, but we need to forgive. And we need to love them from the bottom of our heart. We don't hate our brother in our heart. We love our brother in our heart. And we figure out, and last week we talked about what we can do, and if you've forgotten, look at Romans 12. He tells you what to do. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. If he's hungry, give him food. Vengeance is mine, says who? The Lord. The Lord will take care of those things. We are alike in our weaknesses and frailties, and we are to love those and who don't seem so worthy to us. And there are people in your life, and you know that's true, that don't seem like they should deserve to be loved, even. And we don't either. But God showed his mercy, right? He showed his mercy. I mean, in understanding love your neighbor this way, I think when we look at Jesus as the disciples tell him, Lord, how do we pray? And there's this line in there that says this, Jesus' line says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. I wonder if that's talking about our hearts. Not our money. It's easy to be forgiven, but for some reason, it's hard to forgive. You know, I look at it in the sense of showing mercy, that it is God through us showing mercy when we love one another. And it reminds me of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the Bible. And Jesus tells this parable. And he says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Not us, but just the Pharisee, right? Yeah. And despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee gets up into the temple and he's putting his offering in the box. And he says, thank you, God, that I am not like this tax collector over here. I am not an adulterer, an extortioner. I'm just. And the poor tax collectors over there listening to this Pharisee figure out that he's the bottom scourer of the earth, and this Pharisee's great, and the tax collector bows his head, Jesus says, and he won't even look up, and he beats his chest, and he says, have mercy on me, oh God, have mercy on me. How many times are we in the tax collector's position? Where we've just finished sinning, or we've just finished whatever, and we have, Lord, have mercy. Have you ever been there? Our neighbor is the same person. Have mercy on me, O Lord. And Jesus ends up saying, who's the one that's righteous? The Pharisee who's saying he's righteous? Or the tax collector that's beating his chest? He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So the question this morning is, why don't we show them mercy? What is the problem with us showing people mercy? Because a lot of times when we think we got to show them love, we have to conjure up all these thoughts. But if we understand God through us is demonstrating his mercy, isn't it a little bit easier? Especially when it's those people that have hurt you and said things mean against you and that kind of thing. What do? You take them a cup of coffee. You do things for them and you show them God's mercy. We don't want to be the Pharisee, do we? Do we, kids? No. We want to be the tax collector. We forget that our neighbor is so similar to us. So the question I have for you this morning is, have we outgrown our need for mercy? You remember, I remember when I first became a Christian, oh my gosh, I was such a mess. And I can remember thinking, God, I was the tax collector. I was beating my chest. Man, I had mercy, but as we grow, a lot of times we forget that we need God's mercy, don't we? And we need his mercy, and so do they. So do those who hate us and rebuff us and persecute us. We all need God's mercy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning looking at loving our neighbors ourselves. And Lord, we have a tough time with that. And you know it. I'm sure that it was a little hard on you when you looked down and saw how bad we sin. And your immediate knee-jerk reaction was to show us mercy. That's who you are. And Lord, help us at Harvest Fellowship to be a people of mercy, that we will show mercy right away.